Testing mic 1, 2.
Welcome to Seen and Heard, a podcast highlighting local musicians and the local music scene. Now here's your host, Dave Penn.
Welcome. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Now, just to clarify, my definition of local musician is Western Pennsylvania. It's where I've lived most of my life and the music scene I'm most familiar with. Now, my desire is to shine a spotlight on musicians who typically reside in and play gigs around Western PA. Obviously, my hope is that this podcast grows and expands so that local is any town, USA. But until then, my focus will be local and independent musicians around Western PA. Today's featured local musician is Nick Barilla. Welcome, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. This is a rather unique situation. Nick is not just a local musician that I decided I'd like to feature on the podcast. He also just so happens to be the worship leader at the church I not only belong to, but run sound for the Sunday worship band.
Yeah.
So over the past couple of years, I've gotten to know Nick and have discovered that he's quite the talented musician with an interesting musical background. I want to do a little summary of how you got started. So here's, this is like by way of introducing you to the audience. I want to start from the college years just to introduce you to my listeners. First, I wanted to make one quick mention before I go into the college years. Interesting fact about you from your high school years, you went to Taylor Allardyce High School and were in the same grade. As you know what I'm going to say, the late hip-hop star Mac Miller.
Yes.
Did you know him?
Yeah, we grew up together. Yeah, I mean, we played N64 back in the day rode the bus. Rap battles on the bus before he was Mac Miller. He was Malcolm McCormick. And that was pretty cool just to, like, see his trajectory. Yeah, he was always, like, you know, with people from the neighborhood, down to earth, like, just himself. I think he stayed that way. But unfortunately, you know, you get to the high highs of your career and maybe you're searching for more, but it's tough because, you know, we graduated together and he's one of the first friends that I lost. We weren't like the best of friends, you know, I'm not gonna say that, but we definitely were good acquaintances.
And he was a source of inspiration for
Just seeing how he like did it from where he was, you know, got to where he wanted to be from two blocks away,
right,
on a national stage, gave me the inspiration to kind of like do it. I wish I had gotten started sooner in high school, but I was too nervous.
So let me give my listeners a little bit of background about who you are and how you got started, and you can jump in anytime and correct me if I got any of this wrong. After you graduated high school, you went to Cal U. That's where you turned to music. You discovered the Underground Cafe out there at Cal U. Taught yourself to play piano when you were 19 by watching YouTube videos and reading chord books, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you started writing songs. You got the courage to do some open mic nights on campus. In fact, you had your first underground performance in 2011. Then you won Best Songwriter Award at the Underground. You started going to concerts. That led to next sort of a turning point for you. You realized that you wanted to be the one performing on the stage.
Yes. It's hard as a musician, I think, in general, because you don't have a path. So to see people come in through your college doing what you kind of want to do, touring colleges themselves or just touring on national stages, it kind of gives you a template of what could be possible.
Now, I know for you it was a little bit more than just wanting to perform. You wanted to inspire the students the way that you were inspired by a lot of the performances you saw.
Yeah, for me, like, having a purpose is always a big thing. So just giving back, because I know how hard it is, and not a lot of people could say that they've gotten advice from others. So I've always tried to help other people. You know, music shouldn't be a competition. It should just be building one another up. And it can be
Absolutely.
Easy to feel like it's a competition. You know, you don't want somebody else to be better than you or something like that. So, but that's never how I've been.
You know, what you said hits a nail on the head for me, you know, just wanting to be there and help others. That's why I started the podcast. You know, I believe in the local music scene and how difficult it is out there for musicians to get exposure, to get people to come out and see them. And I'm just hoping to shine a little bit of light
on
it.
Thank you.
Get people out there. Now, one big opportunity you had early on was opening up for Howie Day.
Yes. I actually got to tour with him in about 5 different cities across the country and Midwest, primarily like Chicago, Michigan, and Pittsburgh, obviously. And that was just something that, you know, he has an audience already. So you're playing in front of 300-400 people every night.
Right.
And it's just really like when the room is silent and listening to you, it's a really cool experience. So that was something that was dreamlike, you know, just to be able to like tour for a little bit and then mm-hmm. build a couple shows outside of the tour and go to like, you know, places where I've gone before.
I bet you made connections through that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. So I got that gig because of the college tour that I did with the agency I was on, you know, allowed me to go to conferences. And actually, like the local promoter that promoted me for Howie Day, the college agency that was behind Howie Day, we kind of got that connection together since I had already opened for him. So I opened the door that way. Yeah, networking is cool, but sometimes it doesn't work, you know?
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
So, okay, then a friend of yours tells you about this Battle of the Bands competition called Face the Music. And obviously you were a little hesitant at first, but you gave it a shot. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, again, like, music as a competition is really hard, but there was prize money and you got a featured article in the city paper. So I thought, hey, well, like, if anything, I can get exposure and have a little cash to help me like fund this next record. This was back in 2019, I think. So yeah, I just took a shot at it. There was a lot of people that applied. And at that point, I'd been performing for maybe 5 years, you know, but still, I think it was at the peak of where I was as an artist with recording and things like that. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talent in Pittsburgh, and subjectively, music's always going to be subjective to people, right? Like what they like and stuff. But I think that my band members, you know, we had a song with violin, and then we had a lot of dynamic music that night. So not to say the other bands didn't, but I think that kind of might have set us apart from them. But yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it's just to be validated for what you do and win something that big in a city like Pittsburgh with all the talent. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big stepping stone for me. So
now you use the money that you won from that to help finalize your debut album Moments. You released a single from that album called Faith. Talk about that song.
Yeah. Faith was a song I wrote. One of my first songs I wrote on guitar. I just feel like that song is all the things that you thought you had to be in your faith. Like you have to have a degree or you have to like, you don't have to walk around eggshells just to have faith in God. Like, I don't know. It also, at that point in my career, it was just like kind of like a song for myself. You know, I just need to have faith in myself. It's not about these people following me on Facebook. It's about like this inner self battle cry that I had.
Well, I mean, that's a philosophy. You know, when you do it for yourself, the best of you comes out.
Yes.
And people respond to it. And oftentimes that's what makes you popular and what makes people endears them to your songs.
The
is
vulnerability.
That you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah. And to add to that, song, I've always said I'm a Christian who's an artist, not a Christian artist. So I'm not Chris Tomlin.
Exactly.
But I am a Christian who's an artist. Like, good, I look up point. To Ben Rector a lot. He's a Christian who's an artist. So, yeah, I mean, if somebody wants to talk to me about my faith, then that's a song. I have another song called Believe that kind of touches on hints of my faith. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, in the past, people have encouraged you to go on TV, you know, try out for one of those little those TV shows there. You're not one for that, are you?
I thought I could be, and then I got told no. The closest I got was there was a show called Songland. I had tried out for The Voice. I made the final cut in Pittsburgh right before you go to Hollywood, and about 100 people were at the final audition. I didn't end up making that final call for The Voice, but a couple months later, this must have been 2020, 2019, I got a call from one of the producers from a TV show called Songland where you would write with Ryan Tedder and showcase your song in front of an artist. So, but Zach Brown Band was going to do the show and they were looking at my song Daughter, which had not been released yet. So I had to like delay my album release. It was supposed to release in April when I pushed it back to August. And if Zach Brown Band was going to do the show, like I was going to fly to LA, pitch my song to these songwriters, and then hopefully Zach Brown Band would pick it and cover it. They decided not to do the show. So after 3 months of like Skype interviews and stuff like that, it just didn't end up working. But I, again, like the validation of a big artist, like country artist like that, wanting to possibly cover my song was just a really cool thing. And again, that show's not on TV anymore, but I've also tried out for The Voice and American Idol 3 different times each, you know, for whatever reason. It's just, it's hard to be in an audition
room. Oh, yeah.
I've got asked to sing multiple songs at every audition. I've gotten callbacks, but, you know, a guy with a guitar can only win so many shows.
I'm just glad you weren't one of those featured on YouTube the worst performances where you scream and yell. And
I have a story about that. So the first time I tried out for American Idol at Heinz Field, there was like 10,000 people, but I tried out with 3 other people in the line next to me. The one girl sang, she was the best singer I've ever heard at that point in my life. They said she was too theatrical.
Oh boy.
So they didn't pick her. The next person, they just didn't pick. They asked me to sing 2 songs, didn't end up picking me. The last guy had like baggy jeans, a backwards hat, and he was like horrible. they put him through, and then I saw him on TV that year, somebody to make fun of. So they pick those people, unfortunately, to like make fun of. But I don't think they do that anymore, like since they moved to ABC. But yeah, thankfully, like, I mean, be careful what you wish for with like 15 minutes of fame or whatever, which is also just like building a castle in the sand, because I have so many friends that have been on those shows and they're doing kind of the same thing I am now. And for better or worse, I mean, they built their fan base, but they're playing in bars and wineries and concert venues. And that show, The Voice specifically, they promote like the judges more than they do the artists. Like, it's a shame because I have so many talented friends who have been on there, and they just, I feel like their careers aren't supported once they're off the show.
Yeah, it's easy, and it's easy to say now that you have the opinion of it that you do, but when you're actually going through it and you're getting rejected, you know, that kind of hits you. Those are hardships you got to go through. And speaking of hardships and difficult times, mm-hmm. some things happened to you from about 2019 with, you know, The Voice and the TV show that led up to 2020 and the whole coronavirus pandemic mm-hmm. that you said put a complete stop to your career. Talk about that time.
Right after Songland, I was kind of like thinking, well, I'm going to like tour colleges more and all this stuff. And then I kind of had a fallout with my agent, and that was before COVID anyway. I mean, I was playing 3 to 5 nights a week live. So COVID happened and I got unemployment because I was a live gig worker, right. You know, and they had that, thankfully, for that. I mean, I wasn't making tons of money, but I was making something. And I just, everything stopped. And then when it picked back up, it just felt like silly to me to try to do, because I was grateful, number one, that the pandemic was kind of slowly coming to an end, but also when we were living through that, it just felt silly to like do music like that. And I was kind of getting burned out playing 3 to 5 nights a week.
Well, and also you couldn't. I mean,
I couldn't. No, couldn't, like I was doing a lot of stuff online on like live streaming, right. And it just felt weird. I mean, having people in a room—that's one thing. Like live music will probably never die, just because.
Well, with the internet and everything, AI can't take that. Social media, yeah.
But AI can't take that from you, like a guy playing piano or a girl singing guitar, in AI, a room. Yeah,
a
I know.
A separate discussion.
I know. We could be here forever for that.
Absolutely. Now, you've said that the letdowns and the what-ifs, quote-unquote, have only made you stronger and wiser. Mm-hmm. How have they done that?
Now, looking back, as always, I see God's plan in my life. At the time, I thought my plan was the best. So, I think... I just think that like him guiding me and putting me in the direction that I'm in was the best outcome for my life. And it doesn't mean that like my career, that's the thing about music. Your career never has to be over. Like with sports, you just get too old and you phase out and like you can't run anymore. Or your knees go or whatever. Yeah, exactly. But with music, you never have to stop. And it's tough. Like that's why the Rolling Stones are still going at it. Like it's, I don't want to be them though. Like I don't, when does it stop? Like I've done so much and these moments in my life have like defined my career, but then when you don't have it, it's like, what is like life to me and happiness now is just like time with friends and family and spending time in nature or playing sports and music's there, but it's not everything I'm living for. I saw James Taylor and I was very let down because this was 2024 in the summer and I just felt like the energy wasn't there, his voice wasn't as strong. However, when I saw Elton John, he had changed all the keys to his songs because his voice got deeper. So changing keys helped, but he definitely was still a showman and very good.
He
still had it. I mean, my voice has gotten deeper, you know, but luckily I can still hold up with most of the songs I've written if I remember them.
Now, you said years ago in an interview, quote, you just kind of wait for your moment. Mm. Have you had your moment or is that yet to come?
I mean,
what's your moment if you see it? You know, you've had some moments, but what's your moment going forward?
Going forward, like...
Or if you already had your moment, is it yet to come for you? Are you still have goals that like you're reaching for that moment?
So two things. In ways, I feel like I've already had my moment. Because when you're in your 20s, you don't have that kind of commitment that you need to have in your 30s with a job and savings and all that stuff and children and whatever. And you kind of can like live it. And I think the things that I've done in my 20s, like I've had songs on TV, radio, I've opened for people that I've looked up to, like John McLaughlin, Howie Day.
Right.
You know, I think that those are huge milestones that I initially sought after in my career, recording multiple albums, making friends. I don't know what more I could do. I used to like to travel a lot more and now it's kind of harder for me and I don't like to travel a lot. But moving forward, the moments I have are going to look different. Does that mean they're better or worse? No. I think it's defined by what people think. But for me, I just think the fact that I had something to go after and I went after it at 1,000% and did it, I think that was...
That's cool.
That I've accomplished everything I could have hoped for, you know. even writing a song and recording it or playing it in front of people, like, people have gotten married to my music, or I've played a song at their wedding, and like, just for me to have a place in their life with my music, just right. it's crazy. I mean, you look on my Spotify numbers and Apple Music, and I only have like a few hundred monthly listeners, which I'm grateful for, but there's people listening all over the world to my music, and you don't think about it. Oh, there's only 28 people in Hungary. Like, 28 people in another country are listening to my music. Like, that's a win. Like, oh, I just yeah. think that's cool. Yeah. Like, you know, well, recently, like, my song Daughter's been picking up again, and I woke up to like all these streams, and it was really cool, but yeah. that's a song that was written 5 years ago, so I think you're music can always have a place.
Absolutely. Now, on a lighter note, not only do we have music in common, but I discovered a while back we have something else in common.
Oh, yeah.
The sports card
yes,
collecting.
Yes, yes. Oh, I could talk about that all day, too.
That's a different podcast.
No.
But you kind of got into it as I was getting out of it and selling off my collection.
Yeah, I bought a lot of
you love me. Doing that, man. How's it going? Anything big lately you pulled or came across?
So, I've tried to stop opening boxes because you
tried is the key word. Yes, I know yes. that. I know that.
Because you lose a lot more than you win. I did get a good deal. Jacob Mizorowski on the Brewers last summer was having a big year. Mm-hmm. And I saw in the store for $30 his autographed out of 199 Bowman first. SGC 10, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like they were like, that's priced wrong. That's like a $250 card. So I bought that. That was huge. Right now, I'm sitting on a couple that I'm hoping pay off. Juju Lewis, I have an auto 101 of his. He's one of the backup quarterbacks for Colorado, the Buffaloes. He's like 17. A couple guys I've taken hits on, you know, like Eli Holstein on the Pitt Panthers and stuff. But, yeah, it's just fun. I mean, like,
it is fun.
You know, I do this mystery bin thing at local shows and stuff, and it just gives me something to keep my mind off things. And I like sports cards growing up and just yep. finding them after I was a kid again when I was an adult. And I sold off most of my Pokemon cards, but now it's, you know, I collect Steelers, local sports cards, autos, and stuff like that. But I just like selling cards to little kids and giving yeah, them deals yeah. and getting them into the hobby. And it's just
some
it's
of those
just a
kids
nice
are
thing.
Ridiculous too. They come up to your table and slap $100 down and say, give
these,
me that card.
These kids, they know more than I do, and they're better business people than I am. Like, they're just like, they're hustlers, man. These like 12-year-old kids that come up to your tables. But I have repeat customers that I see at shows and stuff. It's just fun. My store's called Last Place Locker Room on eBay. And
there you go.
Yeah, so little shameless plug.
There, no problem.
I don't sell too much on eBay. I was doing Whatnot for a little bit, but mostly I do like local shows at fire halls and churches and wherever. Not many churches, but
you have a website or anything? That
no, I just I have an Instagram. I don't post that much because it's like the inventory comes and goes. Like, some of it I get by opening, some of it I get at local shops on eBay. I win some stuff and I'll price it up. And I have two shows coming up here next month, but if I still have like dollar cards left over, I'll throw them up on Whatnot. And okay. Whatnot's pretty cool. I mean, it's an auction live stream site, so
yep. All right. Okay. So back to the music and stuff. Yeah. On the day we're recording this interview, it's a Saturday. You have to go straight to a gig, and then tomorrow you'll be leading worship at the church.
Yeah.
Where I'll be doing sound. You're a very busy guy, but I heard your sound guy is going to make things nice and smooth and easy for you tomorrow.
Lots of vocal effects. Well, that's the one cool thing too. So I went to Cal U for communications, radio, and television. So being in a radio station on a Saturday to me is actually kind of nostalgic because I started at Q92 and Bob FM for my internship in Pittsburgh. And then I worked in Morgantown at WVAQ for 6 months after college, moved back home, worked at KDKA Radio and 93.7 The Fan. So I've been in radio a lot, done a lot, and that was what I thought I wanted to do. But then I realized that I was more passionate about actually being on the radio from the other side, maybe, possibly, and I made more money. So I just turned that into a career. But the cool thing is, like you said, I mean, it's just really cool that I started recording out in Greensburg with my friend Daniel Blake over 10 years ago now. And through that, you know, I play this same gig every year in October out here in Greensburg at this family picnic, and it's a great event. But, you know, I do a lot of private events in October for Halloween and stuff like that. I'm getting out there, and just to be able to play music still three times a week yeah. is just really cool. And I really like, you know, being in charge of the youth group at church and seeing these kids, these talented kids, like giving back that way too.
Right.
You know, because I didn't even start singing until I was 19 in college. So just seeing these students that could be molded in their faith, but also their talents. Like, I just feel like it's the perfect gig kind of like to do that. So yeah, I just think that things that like fulfill me are what I want to do moving forward. Like, I don't just want to play 3 hours of background music in a restaurant. I'd rather do stuff like what I'm doing tonight and, you know, Sunday mornings.
Right. Now, I want to mention in closing that we talked about, you know, you're just a very busy guy, busy schedule, but you're going to be adding something very major to your life soon.
Yeah.
Now, you have a song called Daughter. Sort of a premonition of things to come, or
I am glad that I actually am having, well, my wife is having a daughter.
Yeah.
You know, because the reason I wrote that's the story behind that song is there's an artist named Tyrone Wells. He's actually friends with Ben Roethlisberger, which is pretty cool. I saw him in Pittsburgh at Club Cafe a few years back, and he was talking about how hard it was to be on the road away from his two daughters. And that night I went home and was just like inspired. So I wrote this song called Daughter, and I mean, really, people have cried in places I've never even been to when I played it in front of them. It's probably the best song I personally think I've ever written, lyrically, emotionally. Drew Bayora played the violin on the recording, did an amazing job. Mm. Obviously, the song was almost picked for Zach Brown Band, so I mean, a lot of people like my song Signs, but Daughter, yeah, it's cool, but I recently have started writing again, trying to get something out. I had writer's block for a long time. Haven't really been working on much after my release in 2022, but yeah, some central themes about life. You know, I've lost some friends recently, and just having a daughter on the way, just there's a lot of things that I want to write about. So we'll see what comes out.
So I can tell you're in for a treat. I remember back when my wife and I had the first one. All I wanted was a son.
Yeah.
All I wanted was a boy to play matchbox cars with and Legos and teach him how to catch a baseball and a football. That's all I wanted. And we found out we were having a girl, the first one. I come from a family of boys. I've got two brothers, no sisters.
Okay.
Never knew what it was like to, you know, see a girl grow up from, you know, like if I had a sister or something. I didn't know. I'll tell you, when my daughter was born, I couldn't believe how much of an impact it was going to be on my life, the relationship between a father and a daughter.
Wow.
And I got to experience it three times. So
that's
I'm
huge.
Telling you, you're in for a treat. They will wrap you around their finger.
If she's anything like the diva I am, I'm in big trouble. But whatever God wanted to bless us with, I would have been happy with. I think I always wanted a daughter, but when we found out, I was really surprised just because, whoa. Like, a girl's completely different than what I'm used to as a guy. But, you know, I think it's cool because I have two brothers and a sister. So to be able to have a daughter in a family with, like, my wife is the only girl of her extended cousins. There's eight boys and then her. So, but still, it's really cool to, it's going to be a cool experience. So I can't wait. Thank you.
And by the way, you know, I did eventually, I got my son.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I had the three girls.
Yeah,
I did get my son. And
he liked Barbie dolls, not Legos, right?
All right, Nick, thanks for taking some time out of the busy schedule we talked about to come in and chat. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you having me, and you're great at what you do. So keep doing it. Keep mixing. Listen to Dave's show on the radio. He's also a great musician. I hope you release some stuff soon, too. We gotta get together with that.
I need help with that. So maybe we'll get a chance to do something together.
Well, thank you.
You got it, man. Now we're going to be treated to a song. What did you plan on playing for us today?
I'm going to play a song called Magic to Me. I sat on these chords for about 6 months. They were fun chords on the keyboard, and I said, what am I going to write about? So this song's kind of about how I fell in love with music, and it's kind of like a love song too, and it just came together. So it's fun.
Yeah.
There's some other songs in it as well. So I'm going to play it on my new little baby Taylor here that looks like Ed Sheeran's guitar, but he plays Martin. So
what was the name of the song?
Magic to Me. You can stream it on Spotify and Apple Music. It's also on my record, Silence All the Noise, from 2022.
Nice. All right, folks, here's Nick Barilla.
I remember losing gravity as you were staring back at me. It happened so naturally, it was magical. It was something off a movie screen, something you could only dream. We were only 17 in your best friend's car. We were singing ooh la, ooh la la, ooh la ti da ti da. You see, all I ever wanted was someone to sing along with all my favorite songs. Ooh la la, ooh la la, ooh la ti da ti di. Just like ABC's 1, 2, 3's, yeah. This feels like magic to me. remember watching Jim and Pam, wondering if it always happened like that. But everybody has a different plan. I wish I could go back. We were singing ooh-la-la, ooh-la-la, ooh-la-ti-da-ti-da. You see, all I ever wanted was someone to sing along with all my favorite songs. Ooh-la, ooh-la-la, ooh-la-ti-da-ti-dee. Just like ABC's 1, 2, 3's, yeah. This feels like magic to me. This feels like magic to me. Singing call me maybe, don't stop believing, shut up and dance with me. Meet me at the thrift shop, pop lock and drop, party in the USA. Gotta keep your head up, head up, you're the one that I want. I kissed a girl and I liked it. I kissed a girl, I kissed a girl, I kissed a girl and I liked it. We were singing ooh la la, ooh la la, ooh la ti da ti da. Songs. Ooh-la-la, ooh-la-la, ooh-la-ti-da-ti-dee. Just like ABC's 1, 2, 3's, yeah. This feels like magic to me. This feels like magic to me.
Yeah.
All right, once again, today's featured local musician has been Nick Barilla. You can get all the information you need on Nick and his schedule by visiting Nick on social media at Nick Barilla Live. That's Nick, B-A-R-I-L-L-A, Live.
You've been listening to Seen and Heard, a podcast highlighting local musicians and the local music scene. If you are a band or musician who would like to be considered for the podcast, send your request to DavePenn11@comcast.net.